Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, well, you've come to the right place. Today, we have very special guest, Michael Gerber, author of the successful E-Myth Revisited and founder of the most recent venture in the Dreaming Room. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews on World Talk Radio, where the world comes to talk. So stick around. We got a great show. Hello, Service Brands International. I got a problem. The more time I spend pursuing success, the less time I have to enjoy it. What am I going to do?
Don't worry. You made the right call. Service Brands International, a leading multi-brand franchiser, offers a variety of proven home services franchises that are ideally positioned for today's time-starved consumers and are exceptionally efficient to operate, giving you the time to run your business and time to enjoy your success.
There's Molly Made,
a residential cleaning franchise.
Mr. Handyman,
the franchise solution for residential and commercial fix-it problems.
1-800-DRY-CLEAN,
the affordable franchise opportunity offering quality dry cleaning with the convenience of free pickup and delivery.
And Ducts.
That's DUCTZ, meeting the need for improved indoor air quality. For more information on how a Service Brands franchise can provide a life worth living, visit servicebrands.com.
That's servicebrands.com.
Unlock your earning potential with a business to call your own with the Papa Lock Franchise Opportunity. Founded in 1991 by former law enforcement officers in Lafayette, Louisiana, Papa Lock is recognized as the leading locksmith franchise in the world, with 3,600 trained techs and licensed locksmiths serving a total population of more than 150 million in over 3,400 cities. Papa Lock provides multiple revenue streams to franchisees, such as locksmithing and car door unlocking, high-tech key generation, emergency roadside assistance, and emergency car door unlocking. If you would like to examine the Papa Lock franchise opportunity in more detail, please go to our website, www.papalock.com. That's www.papalock.com. Or call 337-233-6211. That number again is 337-233-6211.
Lock up your future today with Papa Lock. Tap into a $41 billion a year industry with Garlic Gyms. Did you know Americans eat about 100 acres of pizza every single day, or about 350 slices per second? Garlic Gyms has spent years looking high and low for a higher quality pizza that is delivered quick enough so that you're still hungry when it arrives. Garlic Gyms makes the most delicious gourmet pizza and at the same time provides excellent and fast service to your door. Garlic Gyms has perfected the science of prompt pizza delivery by learning and experimenting. The exciting twist to this is great pizza. Never again will you have to choose between great pizza and great service. Are you interested in owning a Garlic Gyms? We're currently accepting applications to participate in our exciting world of gourmet pizza delivery and carryout. Talk to us and find out how we sold nearly 100 franchises in 6 states in our first 2.5 years of operation. To get started right away, go to www.garlicgyms.com. That's www.garlicgyms.com. Or call us 425-918-1900. That's 425-918-1900. Garlic Gyms.
Listen, the world is talking. World Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then this is a show to listen to. And today's show is being brought to you by Service Brands International. And Service Brands International is a family of franchise concepts, which include Molly Made, 1-800-DRY-CLEAN, Mr. Handyman, and Ducks. And Don, welcome back on this Thursday, March 15th of 2007. How's your week going, my friend?
Yeah, going great, Marty. Doing fine. All excited, of course, about today's show. We really have a legend on the show today.
Absolutely, we do. I'm very, very excited. Yeah, it looks like spring has finally hit Pennsylvania, Don. So
good.
You know, although I think we're expecting some snow tomorrow. So imagine that.
Forget about that. I like the springs in the airport, you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Our last show, Don, we got to meet with Dana Rambeau of Aristic Hair. And it was a very interesting show. What were your thoughts on last week's show?
Yeah, it was, of course, very interesting. I think they're a well-positioned company, Marty. I think it's a much-needed service. I mean, you know, the senior age bracket, I guess, so to speak, they can help younger people. But I guess a big part of the business are senior citizens, and, you know, it's a needed service.
Absolutely, I would agree with that.
Potential growth. People would much rather be at home. They provide a lot of, I guess, medical and non-medical. I think they're going to really do well, and there's going to be a lot of growth, and they're just in an industry that there's, you know, so much of that type of service is needed. So
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I like your industry experience, Don. You know, there's a document that we referenced on many shows is the UFOC, the Uniform Franchise Offering Circular. And item 2 of the UFOC, the franchisor must disclose the business experience of the executives, management, and board members. You know, and one piece of advice I recommend to prospective franchisees is to, you know, look at the franchisor's industry experience. I think that's very important. You know, and Dana has several decades of experience in the industry. So I think, you know, very good franchise and very good industry, as you mentioned. So
yeah, we've interviewed a couple people who really had a background, a lot of experience. Remember Greg Carafello?
He's been doing it a while.
He knew the industry and went right into something similar and has been very successful. And, you know, so it helps to have all that. And
I would agree.
Yeah,
I would certainly agree. You know, and for our listeners, if you missed the show with Aristic Hair, you can go to our show page and you can actually listen to it in the archives. So it was a good show. What do we have going on today, Don? I know Mr. Gerber's going to be here.
Yeah, he's the author of the very successful The E-Myth Revisited, of course. It's sold, I think it's over 2 million copies. I mean, that's just incredible.
That's incredible.
And he's going to be talking about his continuing recent entrepreneurial venture, Marty, called In the Dreaming Room.
It's exciting.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting. We'll talk all about that. Next week, we're going to be meeting with the founder of Franchise Works. His name is Terry Corkery. I know Terry well. He's a good guy. I consider his website, franchiseworks.com, the top website for his industry. It's a site where people can go on and find different franchise opportunities to look through. They were established in 1999 with over 17 years of franchise experience he has.
Right. Yeah, he's been doing it a while. He's very knowledgeable. I've gotten to speak to him on the phone, too, Don. He's a very knowledgeable guy. He's been to a lot of the shows, too. I think he goes to all of them, practically. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's pretty well-known. And, yeah, I mean, they're considered the industry's leading Internet-based franchise marketing and lead generation website. So that's coming up next week on March 29th. Marty, we're meeting with franchise consultant Carol Mercurio.
Okay.
She has broad industry experience in both business and franchising. She's a franchise consultant with FranChoice.
That's right.
Which I feel is the leading franchise consulting company.
Right.
Several good ones out there. FranChoice is definitely one of the leaders. And she uses her skills she has built to help her candidates find the perfect franchise opportunity. And we've talked about that a little bit. There's so many franchise opportunities. Sometimes people need direction. It's nice to speak to someone like Carol.
I agree. It's overwhelming, Don. You know, with 2,500 different systems out there, you know, I think we're up to about 80 industries. You know, where does somebody begin? You know, so, you know,
right.
Carol can, you know, help you certainly better understand, you know, how to find the right match, you know, when
right.
looking for a franchise. Absolutely.
And on April 5th, we're going to be meeting with Warren Gresius.
Wow, that's great.
And he's pretty well-known, too.
He is.
A big sales guru. He's going to discuss, of course, sales, entrepreneurship, and success.
He's in the Hall of Fame of speakers, too, I believe, Don. If you've ever heard Warren speak, I mean, he's just he's fantastic. I mean, he could talk about anything and motivate you. You know, he's just a really great guy. You know, and having Warren on the show, you know, I don't know if you remember this. I think you and I had this conversation last year. As I was walking through the floor in Washington, D.C. at the franchise show, you know, a lot of these new franchisors, you know, you need some sales experience, you know. They
right.
want you to have some kind of selling background. And Warren's the person to talk to. I mean, he's the best.
Right.
As far as, you know, increasing or improving your selling skills. So, great guy.
He delivers over 70 talks a year to corporations and associations throughout the world. His presentations on success, motivation, and sales raise the keynote speech to a form of performance art.
Yeah.
And he's very energetic, of course. No holds barred delivery. Offers a unique blend of street smart sales instincts, confidence in every person's potential, and no-nonsense goal-setting methods. So,
for me.
Yeah,
so.
He's going to give a lot of great advice. On April 12th, Marty, you're going to meet with Allegra Print and Imaging.
Okay, you know those guys, I know.
Yeah, I've been financing and work with several of the people. Their company, great company. They've recently rolled out a digital print center as well. I mean, their background is printing, of course, and, you know, digital printing is really a growing segment. Besides that, they also have sign and mailing service demands to small, medium-sized businesses in key markets.
I didn't realize they do all that stuff, Don. I mean, they do a lot of different things, Allegra. Researching them, you know,
it's a solid franchise with a strong track record. A typical center, Marty, will consist of all digital equipment, will offer consultative services, including creative marketing services, graphic design, printing communication, signs, banner, mailing services, and promotional products. So they really cover the gamut of that type of business. On April 19th, I guess it just goes on and on with the future shows we have here. On April 19th, actually, we're going to be hosting our own show, and we're going to be talking about everything we've done up to this point. We've been having a lot of fun and success, having a lot of interesting people on the show.
It has. It's been so informative doing this, Don. You know, I didn't realize, you know, when you and I first started doing the whole, you know, radio show, that it was going to be so educational, you know, because...
Right, for us, even, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for us, I mean, we've been doing it such a long time, you know, and even people that we've spoken to, you know, they said, you know, I listened to your show last week, and, you know, I didn't know this, or I didn't know that, you know, so...
Yeah, right.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're going to talk about our own experience and our own advice that we can give to people listening, potential entrepreneurs, talk about our favorite moments from past shows. And what
there's a lot of them. I don't know if we can cover them in one show, but we'll try to do our best, you know, and absolutely.
Or maybe we'll just chicken out. We'll end up getting a guest that chance if we can't handle it.
There you go, you know. We still have so many current events and articles that, you know, you and I need to discuss as well, which we never seem to get through, so maybe we'll cover
so much
some
information
of that
today. Yeah, good.
It's too much information, you know.
Right.
There was something I got in this morning, Don. I think you remember our friends, the Miami Rice Pudding Company, and I thought this was interesting. It says Miami Rice Pudding Company announced today that it will reduce the franchise fee to zero for any military service personnel returning from the conflicts in Afghanistan or Iraq. CEO Kenneth McEvey, who we had on the show actually, stated that our franchise system is a fun, easy, and high profit potential business to operate. This is just a small way Miami Rice wants to thank you for your service to our country. Miami Rice will limit the number of franchises with the reduced fee. Military service personnel can reach Miami Rice Pudding at 1-866-6-EAT-RICE. So, pretty interesting, you know. I thought that was a great thing that that Ken was doing, you know. And we spoke about another organization. Actually, there's another article that I want to reference called VetFran, and they give discounts to military as well, you know. So
right, we've talked about that, but never heard of a franchise having no franchise fee. I mean, that is great. That's tremendous, and hopefully some veterans will take advantage of that.
Absolutely. That helps a lot, you know. There's another interesting article, Don. You know, one of the things that amazes me is how many of my business students express an interest in opening up their own business, and franchising can certainly be a good option, you know. And here's one article. It's from Fredericksburg.com by Kafia Hosh, dated March 11th, just to go over a couple of different things here. It says, after graduating from college with a business degree, 22-year-old Aaron Fisher dutifully landed his place in corporate America. It sounds like you and I, after we, you know, graduated from college, went to go work for some pretty big companies. And he made the painful commute from Stafford County to work for a Fortune 500 company. But it wasn't long before Fisher, now 26, became disenchanted with his career analyzing financial data. Sitting behind a desk all day, staring at a computer, it just wasn't for me, he said. Fisher eventually ditched his cubicle to sell real estate and later opened a cleaning and home restoration franchise. I think it was Rainbow International. Says, I always knew I wanted to own my own business. Fisher represents a growing trend of restless young adults who leave corporate environments and secure jobs in search of a professional autonomy. Generation Y workers, which you and I have spoken about in the past, Don, on past shows, says born between 1978 and 1990, make up 22% of the current labor force, according to a 2006 study by Rainmaker Thinking, which is an organization that analyzes generational workforce trends. Also says Rainmaker Thinking estimates that Generation Y is the fastest growing population in the working world, and by 2010 will outnumber its predecessor, Generation X, born between 1965 and 1977. Just a couple other things. It says, unlike their baby boomer parents, Generation Y employees are compelled to have more control over their careers, said Carolyn Martin. There's an entrepreneurial impulse in this generation, probably more so than in previous generations, she said. Generation Y workers were exposed to technology at an early age, which we mentioned before.
Right.
They practically grew up online and benefited from a wealth of knowledge and information at their fingertips. So
that's
fascinating. A lot of younger, you know, and again, you know, my classes, in my business classes, Don, you know, marketing, business management, I'm always not surprised or pleased, maybe, I guess, how many of my younger students want to, you know, open up their own business. You know, I think that's just
It's a good point. We were younger. I guess we didn't have all this vast network of cable and all these shows on businesses and all these business magazines and, you know, the internet. And, you know, that's a, you know, pretty large percentage, 22%. You wonder how, you know, some of the younger people, early 20s, are financing, getting the money. Either they already have it, they made money in that 20 to 30-year-old range, or maybe the parents are helping them out. But
exactly. That's a good question, you know. I guess, you know, from your experience, Don, you know, because I know you're in the finance end of things, I guess, you know, that might be something that you start to notice is you know,
definitely,
a lot of younger people, you know.
Right, there's more people in their 20s calling, and a lot of times a lender feels they haven't had enough time to build up credit record or work history. But then again, there are some people who've done a lot at that age, and sometimes we just get like a parent or somebody to be a co-signer, and we can get around those issues.
Absolutely, you know, so that's something. So
yeah, definitely interesting article.
Yeah, I know you had a couple of articles on McDonald's, Don. I think what we'll do here, though, is I think Michael is actually here, so I think what we'll try to do now is we'll try to go to break.
Okay.
And you know, maybe at the end of segment three. All right.
Good.
So we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to be right back with more franchise interviews on World Talk Radio, where the world comes to talk. Coming up in segment two, we're going to meet with very special guest, Michael Gerber, author of The Successful E-Myth Revisited, and founder of his most recent venture, The Dreaming Room. And Michael's going to talk a little bit about the E-Myth. We'll talk a little bit about entrepreneurship and franchising and his new venture called The Dreaming Room. And that's just coming up in just a moment on Franchise Interviews on World Talk Radio, where the world comes to talk.
Silent prayer for the faith departed.
Ready for a great tasting dessert that's much better for you and your kids? Try the Miami Rice Pudding Company. Miami Rice Pudding Company offers over 35 flavors of rice pudding delivered in cups or cones with a customer's choice of toppings. This unbelievable franchise opportunity is introducing this great dessert concept to the malls, airports, art shows, and similar venues in your market. Miami Rice Pudding's goal is to help franchisees bring the healthy joy of flavored rice pudding to the world. Join our franchise system and open in your market with a low investment and operate both the fixed location and mobile units. Our system requires minimal food preparation and our pudding has a long shelf life. Mall chains are eager for us to expand to their locations because we're unique, competitive, nutritious, and a fun concept. Call us today, toll free at 1-866-6-EAT-RICE. That's 1-866-6-EAT-RICE. Or go to our website at MiamiRicePudding.com. That's MiamiRicePudding.com.
Tap into a $41 billion a year industry with Garlic Jims. Did you know Americans eat about 100 acres of pizza every single day, or about 350 slices per second? Garlic Jims has spent years looking high and low for a higher quality pizza that is delivered quick enough so that you're still hungry when it arrives. Garlic Jims makes the most delicious gourmet pizza and at the same time provides excellent and fast service to your door. Garlic Jims has perfected the science of prompt pizza delivery by learning and experimenting. The exciting twist to this is great pizza. Never again will you have to choose between great pizza and great service. Are you interested in owning a Garlic Gyms? We're currently accepting applications to participate in our exciting world of gourmet pizza delivery and carryout. Talk to us and find out how we sold nearly 100 franchises in 6 states in our first 2.5 years of operation. To get started right away, go to www.garlicgyms.com. That's www.garlicgyms.com. Or call us 425-918-1900. That's 425-918-1900. Garlic Gyms.
Hello, Service Brands International. I got a problem. The more time I spend pursuing success, the less time I have to enjoy it. What am I going to do?
Don't worry. You made the right call. Service Brands International, a leading multi-brand franchiser, offers a variety of proven home services franchises that are ideally positioned for today's time-starved consumers and are exceptionally efficient to operate, giving you the time to run your business and time to enjoy your success.
There's Molly Maid,
a residential cleaning franchise.
Mr. Handyman,
the franchise solution for residential and commercial fix-it problems.
1-800-DRY-CLEAN,
the affordable franchise opportunity offering quality dry cleaning with the convenience of free pickup and delivery.
And Ducts.
That's D-U-C-T-Z, meeting the need for improved indoor air quality. For more information on how a Service Brands franchise can provide a life worth living, visit servicebrands.com.
That's servicebrands.com.
Listen, the world is talking. World Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then this is a show to listen to. And today's show is being brought to you by Service Brands International. And Service Brands International is a family of franchise concepts, which include Molly Maid, 1-800-DRY-CLEAN, Mr. Handyman, and Ducts. And our next guest is Michael Gerber, author of the very successful E-Myth Revisited. Good morning, Michael. Welcome to the show. Michael?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, how are you, Michael?
I'm wonderful.
Good, good. Michael, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, who's also the president of Diamond Financial Services of New Jersey. And Don, Michael, works with prospective franchisees when they're ready to finance their franchise. And I know you wanted to say hi, Don, to Michael.
Yeah, hi, Michael. Thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it, and it's really an honor to spend some time with you today. And we have a lot of potential entrepreneurs listening to the show, so I know they're real excited about being educated today. And
wonderful.
Marty and I feel we're both entrepreneurs. You know, that might change, though, after today's show. We'll have to see.
You never can tell.
Absolutely. Michael, again, I want to thank you for coming on the show today and, you know, congratulate you on the tremendous success of the E-Myth, and also congratulate you on your newest venture, the Dreaming Room, which is an exciting concept that we're going to talk about in a moment. I was reading an article, Michael, I don't know if you're listening to the show early on in segment one, how a lot of younger people, Generation Yers, are becoming their own boss. And one of the first things I recommend to this particular audience is that they read the E-Myth. And for our listeners who are new to entrepreneurship and franchising, Michael, could you describe what the E-Myth is?
Well, the E-Myth is exactly what we were talking about earlier. It's the entrepreneurial myth.
Right.
It essentially says that most people who go into business for themselves really aren't entrepreneurs, but what I call technicians suffering from an entrepreneurial seizure. So they create a job for themselves instead of a business. Calling it a business, it is a business, it does business, but unfortunately it completely depends upon them to do what the business does. So the mechanic starts an auto repair business, the cook starts a restaurant, the doctor starts a medical practice, each of them believing because they know how to do the work of the business. They know how to build a business that works, and it's completely untrue. And unfortunately, the reason so many small businesses fail.
Interesting.
So they start to lose that entrepreneurial spirit because they get so involved in doing all the work themselves, it sounds like, Michael.
Yeah, well, they're passionate about becoming their own boss.
Right.
And they start the business to do the work they know how to do. I mean, you know, the logic of it is obvious that you wouldn't start a business you don't know how to do.
Right.
You start a business to do what you know how to do and what you were trained how to do and what you've been doing in the job you had before. So the logic goes that if I do what I know how to do, I can start my own business and do it for me and take home all the money.
Right.
So they go to work.
Exactly.
And the problem really is just that. They go to work in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And the E-Myth says you have to go to work on the business.
Exactly.
Which, after all, is what every great franchisor did. The franchisor goes to work on the business to build the franchise prototype so that it can be scaled, builds a system that works rather than the job for himself, and then, of course, replicates that prototype time and time and time and time and time again, which is where the business format franchise came from.
Right. Like your Ray Kroc's, Michael.
Exactly. Like in Ray Kroc, and in an un-Starbucks way, I mean an unfranchised way, like Starbucks, or like Walmart, or like Federal Express,
exactly.
Or like Dell Computer, like any extraordinary company, the entrepreneur builds a business operating system that is enabled that company to scale. So it's all about scale.
Absolutely. So that's a big question, Michael. Your typical business owner starting out, they can start to do well, reach a certain level, but don't really know how to take it to the next level.
Exactly, because they never really started it with
right.
the idea in mind that they were going to take it to the next level.
Right.
They started it as an alternative to working for somebody else. And that mind shift is really, really critical for anybody who's thinking about a franchise. You know, the other part of it is that many of us say that franchisees are entrepreneurs.
Right.
Well, the truth of it is entrepreneurs make the worst franchisee of all.
Absolutely.
Because entrepreneurs want to do their own thing.
Exactly. Like, and the creativity is lessened.
Of course.
To a degree, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you get a franchisee to buy your franchise, and that franchisee is an entrepreneur. That franchisee is going to change your franchise the minute he starts, the minute she starts in it, and that's the worst thing they could possibly do.
Right, it's a disaster.
It's a disaster. What they need to do is to go to work in the franchise,
right.
managing it, the system that works. And so what a great franchisor is really looking for is a great manager, or a great technician.
Exactly.
Because many franchisers are really selling jobs.
Right, absolutely.
They're saying, here's a great job, it really works, you don't even have to think about it, we'll teach you how to do it, all you got to do is to learn the system and you'll be successful. Don't mess with the system.
Absolutely. Really, to really think inside the box, don't think outside.
You got it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So the franchisor, Michael, is what you're saying, is the true entrepreneur, or the franchisee is more the manager or the technician.
You got it.
Interesting.
If it's done ideally.
Right, absolutely.
So understand, that's the whole quandary about franchising. Actually, what people are doing when they buy a franchise is they're buying a job.
Exactly.
But it's a job they can depend upon, because all of the problems related to it have been worked out in advance. That's the idea of it.
Right, absolutely.
So, of course, in order to know whether or not you're acquiring a great franchise, e.g. a great job,
mm-hmm.
Understand a job for a manager or a job for a technician, you really, really have to do your due diligence about the business operating system, the lead generation, the lead conversion, the client fulfillment systems, which comprise the business operating system, to see that those systems work predictably every single time.
Right, right. I was telling Don earlier, Michael, that we're going to have to change our tagline because our slogan for Franchise Interviews is Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I said, God, I hope Michael doesn't hear that because...
That's okay. You see, I'm old enough, I don't care.
Exactly. Michael, what prompted you to write the E-Myth? I never asked you that question. I have had the opportunity in the past to interview you for a newsletter several years ago, but what prompted you to write it? I never asked you that question.
Well, actually, it was a complete accident, as most things are in my life. A stringer from a then-publisher called Ballinger Books.
Right.
His fiancée worked for my company. It was then called the Michael Thomas Corporation, morphed into E-Myth Worldwide.
Right, right.
But he came to hear a seminar I was doing called Key Frustrations in a Small and Growing Business and What to Do About Them. Mm-hmm. It was a three-hour seminar. It was the progenitor of the E-Myth. I never used the word the E-Myth then. Essentially, we told the story about why most small businesses don't work, and I would stand up there in front of 60, 100, 150 small business owners and just beat them about the head and shoulders and tell them that their key frustrations came from the fact that they didn't know how to run a business. And that's what their problem was.
Right.
Them. Fix them, you fix the business. So all I needed to do to fix them is to change the way they think about business.
Right.
And instantly something will happen that never could happen before. Well, in any case, this stringer, this guy who worked for Ballinger, heard me and he came up to me afterwards and said, how'd you like to write a book? And I said, sure, about what? He said, about the seminar. And I said, well, yeah. He said he had a publisher who wanted to write publish a business book on small business.
Right.
He went back there, they said yes, he came back, I said yes, and the E-Myth was born.
That's incredible.
That's interesting. And also, just thinking, hearing you speak, Michael, taking it back a little further, I mean, with your success at E-Myth, I mean, what basically was your background before even E-Myth came about?
Oh, man, my background was everything. I mean, I was a carpenter, I was a saxophone player, I was an encyclopedia salesman, I was a poet, I was a beat, I was a hippie, I was this. I was
more diversified than that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was everything. Everything and nothing.
That's something. I mean, did you have any idea, Michael, the book would be so successful? I mean,
I believed it was going to be absolutely knocked down dead successful.
Right, right.
Of course, I believed the company was going to be knocked down dead successful.
Right.
And I believed the idea was a knocked down dead absolutely brilliant idea.
Absolutely.
The whole idea of the reason why most small businesses don't work proved itself out. That people give themselves a job and then they're working for a living and
right.
Then there's all this stuff they don't know how to do and all this stuff they need to learn how to do, but it's the context of what a business is in relationship to a guy who starts one. And that is the critical and most fundamental thing that the E-Myth has done. It's truly transformed the way people think about a business.
Right, absolutely.
You must take a lot of satisfaction knowing top business people use your book as a, you know, as a guide. It's
great fun. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think one of the great things about the book, Michael, too, is, I mean, it's timeless. I mean, this is a book or concept, I mean, that, you know, could be read 50 years or 100 years down the road, you know? I mean,
that's what's really rewarding is that the sales of the book continue.
Exactly.
Unabated, week after week after week. More books are sold, more books are sold. It's extraordinary when you think about it. The book came out in 1986.
Right.
And it just became a bestseller on New York Times bestseller list. It came out in 1986.
Right.
And it just hit the New York Times bestseller list. Doesn't that blow your mind?
Yeah, it does. Incredible.
Yeah. A woman we're having on the show next week, Michael, Carol, she's a franchise consultant. She makes all of her prospective franchisees actually read the E-Myth, you know.
That's great.
It is. It's incredible.
And how many E-Myth books, Michael, have you written up to this point? There's several.
Seven books. The last is E-Myth Mastery, The Seven Essential Disciplines for Building a World-Class Company. The preceding ones, The E-Myth Physician, Why Most Medical Practices Don't Work and What to Do About It, The E-Myth Contractor, Why Most Contracting Businesses Don't Work and What to Do About It,
right.
The E-Myth Revisited, the E-Myth manager, why most managers don't work and what to do about it. And then, of course, the original E-Myth. And then there was one in there that was not an E-Myth book called The PowerPoint.
Yeah, I remember seeing that, yeah. That's out of print, isn't it, Michael?
It is.
Okay.
And which is the new book you're working on right now?
The new book is called Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, How Ordinary People Build Extraordinary Companies Without Any Experience to Guide Them.
That's something. I'm looking forward to that. When's that coming out, Michael?
That'll be out in February of 2008.
That's great.
If I get off the phone and go write it.
Exactly.
So you've really niched out some of your books. You can just keep going on in certain industries and really be specific to us, like...
And that's a plan. My plan is for 27 E-Myth books in 27 vertical markets.
That's something.
Sure, they'll all be successful. Great.
Has anyone approached you, Michael, as far as writing a book about yourself, like a biography or anything like that? Or
No, nobody wants to know about me.
No.
Well, they might want to know about when you were a hippie, though.
Exactly.
Yes,
that would make a great story, yeah.
Right.
I was wondering, Michael, if you could tell us about your exciting new entrepreneurial venture in the Dreaming Room. I think it's such an exciting new concept.
Well, it actually was born much like everything in my life is born by accident. I replaced myself with a CEO, feeling that it was really time for somebody else to take over the reins of E-Myth Worldwide and to grow it like I know it can and will. And suddenly I was free. My life turned into a three-hour job. That was 3 hours a month at the board meeting as chairman of the board. Well, that drove me absolutely nuts. I understand it's not actually a three-hour job. I'm out speaking around the world, and
Absolutely. And
I'm writing. I have a contract with Doubleday to write five more books,
Okay. The
first of which is the one I just described.
Right.
But I was sitting there with essentially nothing to do, and I was really feeling miserable.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to my mother, who's 95 years old, who reads all my books, has no interest in business whatsoever, but she's crazy about me.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, she figures if she reads my book, she'll know what I'm thinking about, because she never has figured that out. So I'm sitting there, and I'm just pouring out my, what's going on? Oh, man, I don't know, Mom. It's like this. You know, I'm like a kid again. I'm talking to my mother.
Right. And, oh, that's something.
And she says, Michael, it sounds like it's time to create something new.
Right.
And it just struck me. Wow. Right. I could do that. Why aren't I doing that?
Right.
And the sudden thought came over a period of several weeks. The Dreaming Room. And that came from a conversation with my brother-in-law, Marty Sklar, who just retired as vice chairman of Disney.
Yeah.
Yep, Disney Imagineering.
That's right, yeah.
And he talked about the Dreaming Room at Disney. And he said Walt one day got frustrated with the meeting, and he told everybody, tomorrow it's going to be different.
Right.
And they came to the meeting room, and there was a sign on it saying, the Dreaming Room. And they went inside, and Walt said, well, you saw the sign. This is the Dreaming Room. Let me tell you what we do here. What we do here is pursue the impossible. But in order to pursue the impossible, something has to change in us. So I now call us Disney Imagineers. And Disney Imagineering, which is what Marty led for so many years, is the inventor of the parks. What happens in the parks, all of the new things that take place there. And Walt said, from now on, that's what we do here. We create the impossible. We do the impossible, which means none of us and none of our experience really serves any value. We're going to have to discover the impossible within us in order to pursue the impossible.
Right.
And so I thought that was an incredible story. And so I immediately put a Dreaming Room up in my company, E-Myth Worldwide. And, of course, we all turned it into a meeting room.
Right.
So essentially the whole idea was blown. You know, that was solving problems. The Dreaming Room has nothing to do with solving problems.
Right.
The Dreaming Room has to do with inventing an extraordinary new company from scratch. It's a blank piece of paper and beginner's mind. So that's what I decided to do. I decided I'm going to go into a room with 35, 27, 62 people who truly, truly want to create something incredibly original in a business. Whether they own one or whether they don't own one is irrelevant. They truly want to learn how to invent something spectacular, just like Schultz invented Starbucks.
Right.
You know, all the pieces existed before. You know, furniture existed, coffee existed, tea existed, all of everything existed. All that he did was to reorganize the world in such a way that somebody called it Starbucks.
Right.
And there it is.
Yeah.
Now, how do you do that? How do you charge $5 for a cup of coffee? I mean, you've got to think about it. How do you do that? You have to invent that. You have to invent grande, tall, venti. You have to invent your own language. You have to invent your own look. You have to invent the way you do what you do in a way that blows people's minds and immediately draws people to you. You have to invent something absolutely spectacular. And that's what we do in the Dreaming Room. So I meet with people in the Dreaming Room. Right now it's me. I'm working in the business of the Dreaming Room,
right,
while I'm working on the business of the Dreaming Room to build the Dreaming Room process and the Dreaming Room system so that I'll be able to replicate what I do with Dreaming Room facilitators all over the world, which is what my intention is. So the Dreaming Room is a knock-dead, brain-busting, absolutely stunningly original intensive experience over 2.5 days where I take on the in-the-box thinking of every single person who comes into the room, who comes there to get their problems fixed, only to discover in the Dreaming Room there are no problems. All there are here are opportunities.
Right.
And I'm going to demonstrate to them in living color the way a true entrepreneur, the way a true creator takes on the world to create something that didn't exist before. And that's what I do. And I do it with every single participant in the Dreaming Room, and it blows their minds. They absolutely can't believe what occurs in that 2.5 days. So that's what it is. It's a blow-your-mind, knock-dead, absolutely incredible, stimulating awakening of the entrepreneurial spirit in every single person that comes there, who even think they're entrepreneurs, only to discover they're not.
Right, right.
So much different than the E-Myth.
Absolutely, yeah.
Much more on a creative level.
No, it's the predecessor of the E-Myth. In fact, what I realized is this is what everybody needs to do before they do the E-Myth.
Right.
The E-Myth program, the E-Myth Mastery program, the thing that I've invented over since 1977 to this day, the thing that's been delivered to over 55,000 now small business clients in 145 countries, is it's the tools, the mechanics for once you have a dream, once you have a vision, once you have a purpose, once you have a mission, once you have a great idea for a business, now you can begin to build it with the E-Myth tools and coaching that we've been delivering for so many years. But until you have that great idea, then all you're going to do is you're going to build what you've got, but it's going to invariably disappoint you.
Right.
Right, absolutely.
Very interesting. So dream, invent, create before the business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Michael, are you able to stick around for another segment?
Sure.
Thanks, that's fantastic. Okay, so I think what we'll do here is we'll take another quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews on World Talk Radio, where the world comes to talk.
Rising up, back on the street, did my time, took my
chance.
Coming up in segment three, we're going to continue our interview with our very special guest, Michael Gerber, author of the successful E-Myth Revisited and his most recent venture, The Dreaming Room. And we'll talk a little bit more about entrepreneurship and franchising. And that's coming up on Franchise Interviews on World Talk Radio, where the world comes to talk.
Don't lose your grip on dreams of the past. You gotta fight.
Tap into a $41 billion a year industry with Garlic Gyms. Did you know Americans eat about 100 acres of pizza every single day, or about 350 slices per second? Garlic Gyms has spent years looking high and low for a higher quality pizza that is delivered quick enough so that you're still hungry when it arrives. Garlic Gyms makes the most delicious gourmet pizza and at the same time provides excellent and fast service to your door. Garlic Gyms has perfected the science of prompt pizza delivery by learning and experimenting. The exciting twist to this is great pizza. Never again will you have to choose between great pizza and great service. Are you interested in owning a Garlic Gyms? We're currently accepting applications to participate in our exciting world of gourmet pizza delivery and carryout. Talk to us and find out how we sold nearly 100 franchises in 6 states in our first 2.5 years of operation. To get started right away, go to www.garlicgyms.com. That's www.garlicgyms.com. Or call us 425-918-1900. That's 425-918-1900. Garlic Gyms.
Ready for a great tasting dessert that's much better for you and your kids? Try the Miami Rice Pudding Company. Miami Rice Pudding Company offers over 35 flavors of rice pudding delivered in cups or cones with a customer's choice of toppings. This unbelievable franchise opportunity is introducing this great dessert concept to the malls, airports, art shows, and similar venues in your market. Miami Rice Pudding's goal is to help franchisees bring the healthy joy of flavored rice pudding to the world. Join our franchise system and open in your market with a low investment and operate both the fixed location and mobile units. Our system requires minimal food preparation and our pudding has a long shelf life. Mall chains are eager for us to expand to their locations because we're unique, competitive, nutritious, and a fun concept. Call us today, toll free at 1-866-6-EAT-RICE. That's 1-866-6-EAT-RICE. Or go to our website at MiamiRicePudding.com. That's MiamiRicePudding.com.
Unlock your earning potential with a business to call your own with the Papa Lock Franchise Opportunity. Founded in 1991 by former law enforcement officers in Lafayette, Louisiana, Papa Lock is recognized as the leading locksmith franchise in the world, with 3,600 trained techs and licensed locksmiths serving a total population of more than 150 million in over 3,400 cities. Papa Lock provides multiple revenue streams to franchisees, such as locksmithing and car door unlocking, high-tech key generation, emergency roadside assistance, and emergency car door unlocking. If you would like to examine the Papa Lock franchise opportunity in more detail, please go to our website, www.papalock.com. That's www.papalock.com. Or call 337-233-6211. That number again is 337-233-6211.
Lock up your future today with Papa Lock.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then this is a show to listen to. And today's show is being brought to you by Service Brands International. And Service Brands International is a family of franchise concepts, which include Molly Maid, 1-800-DRY-CLEAN, Mr. Handyman, and Ducks. And today's guest is Michael Gerber, author of the very successful E-Myth Revisited and founder of The Dreaming Room. And Don, I think you're up. I want to talk to Michael a little bit about franchising and entrepreneurship.
Yeah, well, I think before that, Mike, I think a lot of people listening might be a little surprised that your mom still tells you what to do.
No, that's the problem. My mom has never told me what to do. She inspires me to do things that I never thought about doing.
Absolutely.
That's great. That's tremendous. Yeah. What advice would you give to a prospective franchisee looking to buy a franchise, Michael?
Well, first of all, understand what you want. it has less to do with the franchise than it does with you. What is it truly important to you to do? This whole new emergence of the Dreaming Room, for example, really revolves around the idea that struck me that this is the age of the new entrepreneur. And the new entrepreneur is very, very much different than the one who preceded him. The new entrepreneur is more interested in a business that has meaning, not just money. So the whole question for the new entrepreneur one who wants to buy a franchise is really, so what's the meaning of this? What's the impact of this on the world? When we begin to look at the world and really realize that the world is in dreadful shape, you wonder then how I, in a business of my own, could have some kind of impact that would add value to the world. So I'd begin to look at franchises from that perspective. What's the value of the franchise? Mm-hmm. Presuming that I'm going to be successful, what is the value? What do I deliver that has value to my customer? What pride do I get from what it is I'm doing? What am I adding of benefit to the world as opposed to subtracting from the world, presuming, again, I'm going to be successful? So the first thing is, what does this company mean? What is the true meaning of this, and what's the impact and import of it? For me in my life, you know, I'm going to die one day, and I'm going to probably die inside my business. And what I'd like to ask myself is, will I be proud of the fact that I devoted the rest of my life to doing this?
Right.
Would I want to say this to people I love? Would I want to say this to my kids? What am I going to say to them when I describe what I've chosen to do with the years of my life that I'm going to do it in? Because, in fact, you're going to spend the rest of your life in this business or in something very much like it. The second thing I would ask, once I've decided that, yes, this is a worthy thing to do for me, a human being, how organized is this thing that I'm going to do? How organized is it? Does it have a truly kick-ass breakthrough system for doing what it needs to do, which is attract people to it as customers, which is convert those people into active customers and paying customers, and ability to convert those customers into clients, meaning they come back again and again and again and again. So I want to build or buy that capability, or I'm going to then be need to build it for myself.
Wow. It's a great. We've been asking that question now since we started the show, Michael. We never got such a great response.
Right. Thank you. Don't jump into anything quickly. Do your due diligence. And that's a good point. I mean, this might be something you've been doing for a long time. Are you going to be proud of telling people this is
strong
what you
words,
do?
Proud, yeah.
I mean, Marty, you and I have talked about people just can't jump into something that sounds great. They got to
exactly
they have to go more deeply into their own motivation.
Right.
And that's the thing that's missing almost all the time. Essentially, the prospective franchisee, the guy, the woman who decides they want to buy a business opportunity, essentially they go out there, and the one who pitches the deal the best gets the deal. And I'm essentially saying it's got to turn around the other way. The one who's going out becomes more thoughtful about what I'm looking for, as opposed to simply going out and looking for a good business to run.
Right, absolutely.
So that right there might be a strong characteristic of a successful entrepreneur, somebody who is looking at it from that perspective. And that's really, my next question. What do you feel are some of the characteristics of a successful entrepreneur, Michael?
Well, I'm thinking about the entrepreneur a great deal these days. As you know, in my E-Myth books, I talk about a business owner as three personalities, the entrepreneur, the manager, and the technician. And I say that the entrepreneur's part of that is the visionary. The entrepreneur is the one who's thinking about the future. The entrepreneur is the one who has a design in mind, the creator, the inventor of a business. The manager, on the other hand, is the personality, the one in us, who invents the system through which the entrepreneur's vision can become a turnkey reality at the operating level of the business. So the manager's job is to build the system and to improve the system and to improve the use of the system in order to be certain that it has that predictability and consistency that's absolutely essential for a great company. The third is the technician, and the technician's role is to become a master of the system. So the technician coming into work in a business needs to become a master of the system that the manager invented on behalf of the entrepreneur who envisions a result that this business is going to produce in a highly differentiated way that causes it to work better than its competitor. And then you see these three personalities working hand in glove. Well, I go into, in my new book, The Entrepreneurial Personality, and I break out the four parts of the entrepreneur. You might say the four personalities within the entrepreneurial personality. And the first is the dreamer. No dreamer, nothing is going to happen of any significance. And the dreamer is the one who actually does that. I call it intentional dreaming. Is the one who truly begins to work with a blank piece of paper to look for the opportunity that is a kick-ass opportunity that nobody else is looking at.
Right.
And that is the invention. The second part is the thinker. The thinker is the greatest ally of the dreamer. No thinker, that business may be a great, founded on a great dream, but it's never, ever, ever really going to do what it needs to do because you've got to put together the logic of the business. And the thinker is the left brain to the dreamer's right brain and creates balance as they too, in within each of us, entrepreneurs, go to work on the idea to flesh it out and to build the business model. The third is the storyteller. You need to tell a story. Every great company tells a story. Every great entrepreneur tells a story. But you need to write that story. You need to create that story. And so the storyteller writes the story that is going to go out to every single human being that entrepreneur can talk to. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. Very few small businesses have a story worth telling. And therefore, very few small businesses really evoke the spirit and energy that's absolutely essential if that business is going to grow exponentially. And finally, is the leader. Every entrepreneur needs to be a leader. And that leader then creates the mission. So we have the storyteller has the purpose. The purpose of this business is to transform the lives of the people who go into business. The mission of eMyth Worldwide is to build a turnkey coaching system that will enable us to deliver stunning results through a novice who's using our expert system to transform small business. So you get the point of it.
Absolutely, yeah. Michael, what's the best way to get in touch with you if someone wants more information? Should they go to the Dreaming Room website?
Go to www.inthedreamingroom.com. INTHE, dreamingroom.com.
Okay, great. We have a link up on our show page, too, Michael, so anyone listening can actually go to it. And again, I want to thank you for coming on the show today, Michael. I think...
Wonderful.
Great. And
anybody who's passionate about this, got to get to a Dreaming Room. They're in San Diego, California.
Okay.
That's where I am. Just do it.
That's great. Thank you so much, Michael.
Great.
You're
great.
Have a great day, Michael.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Bye-bye. That was fantastic, Don.
Yeah.
Great answers. Yeah, they could have spoken forever. We're going to have Michael back one day. But yeah, I think this is a wrap, Don. I think we'll end the show and we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Thanks, Don. Great show.
Marty.
Good job.
Bye-bye.
World Talk Radio.